I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
First Cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Valspar Championship. That's news, storylines, it's best bets. It is the one and done. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, hello.
What's going on, you guys? We got a lot to get to between some potential food takes, some tracking as well, and a little paint with the Valspar Championship. Good to be here.
Greg Ducharme is here. Hi, Greg.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. Excited to be here. Excited for the Valspar Championship. And some of this other, I have a feeling we're going to have a few laughs today with some of these other topics Josh has slated for us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Josh has a couple of notes in the outline, and they're just bullet points. He's going to let me go wherever I want to go, which is generally a dangerous thing. So we'll see. I did shoot, Greg, so I was trying to convince myself. I shot an 82 this morning, but I made three triples, and I was trying to convince myself three doubles. I did not make three triples. I made three doubles. But I was trying to convince myself that I should be optimistic after that because I played well for like 13 holes.
Yeah, there's a lot to be optimistic about for that. Now, you weren't at TPC Sawgrass.
No.
But those are things that are pretty easy to clean up. There are some simple... We could talk about it offline. Definitely some double bogey avoidance things you can do that'll be helpful.
I haven't made three doubles in a round in a long time, and I did it this morning. All right. Patrick, are you our official plane tracker of the are you the First Cut's official jet tracking resource?
You know, it's tough without KP here. He put out the bat signal this morning, hashtag tracking season. I replied hashtag tracking in all caps with the alert emoji, the oil emoji, the cat emoji. So I'll take the crown for now. I'll take the crown.
Okay, well, let's get the people up to date on what in the world that could possibly mean. And it means that the PGA Tour Policy Board, the player directors, along with Tiger Woods, met yesterday. Today's Tuesday, right? Yesterday in the Bahamas with Yasir Al-Rumayyan, who is running the PIF. And this is supposed to be a conversation, a meeting of trying to figure out how these entities work together.
Yeah, it was a little meet and greet, kind of maybe a speed dating situation. I don't think anything too material was going to come out of it. At least that's how Patrick Cantlay saw it going into the meeting. But I mean, if we are tracking, There are a couple boats and a couple jets still there in Albany, Bahamas, one belonging to the Cat, one belonging to Yasser. And I'm just wondering if all it took was for Yasser to get on a golf course with Tiger. And he's just like, whoa, this is pretty awesome. You know, I'm playing golf with Tiger Woods. Maybe he's going to try to nose his way into that Augusta membership for all we know. But I think as for serious points to come out of it, it's kind of what's been talked about for the past year. The three big questions being, if they do come to terms, how much money is PIF going to put in? How much does the PGA Tour want them to have? Like, how much control of the enterprise? Is team golf going to be a thing in the future? That seems to be a big talking point for Yasser, something he really likes. I'm not going to pretend to know the guy or his likes and dislikes, but that seems to be the general consensus on that. And how do these guys get back on the PGA Tour? That seems to be a big, a lot of disagreeing on that with the PGA Tour. And I think before the game needs to come together, it seems like the PGA Tour needs to come together in some respect. A lot of differing opinions. And so kind of got to get their house in order, it seems like, before we can get the entire world in order.
Yeah, that to me, Greg, is kind of step one. Comfortability. Comfortability of the PGA Tour player directors and Yasser, right? Are they on even the same page? Are they in the same ballpark? Do they agree on things? What do they disagree on? Because I don't think, which in my opinion is very early in the process, because I don't think these negotiations are that deep when you're just basically doing meet and greets right now. But I think a lot of this is to get the player directors to get to be comfortable with what could be happening. And then if they can, the players directors would take that message back to the rest of the players.
Yeah. And I do think, Patrick, you bring up a really good point with the PGA Tour needing to come together. They need to decide on a direction. We need to have a little bit better control of what's going into the media, and having all these players making comments and, you know, quite frankly, talking about this meeting doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We can get into that in a little bit, but we need to develop a direction. We need to come together on it, and we have to have our eyes set on a prize. And ultimately, if we can't develop a cohesive direction for the PGA Tour in itself, how can we possibly bring on another investor? How can something work out with the PIF if we don't know what we're really hoping for, what we want? I think that's a challenge that the PGA Tour executives, the policy board, and the players as a whole, they really need to take some steps in solving that.
For sure. Get your own house in order, as before Patrick, like he said, take it to the rest of the world. Here is what Jay Monahan blasted out to the players. It's not anything of note, but I'll just read it word for word so that we have it here. So, as you may know, your PGA Tour Enterprises player directors, that's a mouthful, join me today in a meeting with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, governor of the Public Investment Fund. The conversation throughout was constructive and represents an important part of our due diligence process in selecting potential investors for PGA Tour Enterprises. This mirrors the approach we employed earlier this year as we evaluated an investment offer from the Strategic Sports Group. During the session, Yasser had the chance to introduce himself to our player directors and talk through his vision, priorities, and motivations for investing in professional golf. As we continue these discussions with the PIF, we will keep you updated as much as possible. But please understand that we need to maintain our position of not conducting negotiations in public. To that end, we will provide no further comments to the media at this time. Patrick, you are, you're well versed in the worlds that Jay Monahan comes from. Do you have any translation to this message that you could offer up?
I think we're just going to be getting a lot of this for a while moving forward. I think Jay realizes his mistake coming to terms early, last summer, and getting excited, pulling the trigger early and seeing the backlash he got. He learned his lesson. All right, let's just shut up, get to work, and move forward and hopefully bring the game of golf together at some point and hopefully get the trust of the PGA Tour membership back. I think that's, I mean, if you had to prioritize, it's probably 1A, get the trust back of the membership, and 1B, get this investment from PIF at the moment. So I think it's just going to be a lot of nothing that is going to be sent out to people, which is, I mean, we talked about it last week. He's in a really tough position where you want to update people. He's emailing the tour membership constantly, trying to do his best, but at the same time, you can't really. So rocking a hard place for Jay Monahan.
I have a slightly different view on the order of operations when it comes to trust and the deal with PIF. I think you have to get finalization and get an understanding of where this is all going. And you have to put the players in a position where they win, which is not easy to do. But once you get the players in a position where they're all going to win, it becomes possible to regain trust. And when you're in the position that we're in now, this is transparency, but not really. So the players want transparency, but I don't know if they really want transparency. I think they want it to work out for them well in the end. And if you can provide that end and show them that, hey, this is going to work out best for you, then all of a sudden these business dealings and negotiations and communications become irrelevant to the player, in my opinion. And so I think you have to, because of the situation where you're in, I mean, normally I would always put trust first, but now that it's gone and now you're trying to put them in the best position, but, you know, being open and negotiating in public doesn't put them in the best position. So you can't be transparent. So there's not a lot that he can do to regain the trust other than do what's best for them and get whatever that is done. Then you bring it back to them and then you open up lines of questioning, lines of communication, give a detailed press conference, write a detailed letter, outline to everybody how this is going to work. Go ahead, Patrick.
I think one thing he could do in terms of getting the house in order, and I think they're just going to be tinkered with until oblivion, is, I mean, a lot of the heat is coming from rank and file guys more, I would say. I mean, you heard Lucas Glover, he's not happy. He talked about it on his radio show. He talked about it to Johnson Wagner. I know he's not a rank and file guy, but he has been. And that was kind of his point. He's a guy who's seen every corner of the PGA Tour. So it feels like he's one of the better guys to talk about this. Next year, I'd expand the signature event fields back to 100, right? I'd make it bigger. I'd make the avenues not easier, but less confusing where, I mean, we've had winners go in through the Aeon Swing 5. I've talked to agents of those guys competing for those spots and they were pissed about it. So I think there's something where, not a peace offering, but there's still something you can do to make the PGA Tour better, even if this PIF investment doesn't pan out.
That's true. I think that's a really good point. But the part where the PIF investment becomes a big factor in that is, you know, the purpose of the signature events being very exclusive is to try to limit the threat of your top players going to live. And ultimately, if the top players are not going to live and the PGA Tour is able to survive, that's better for the rank and file guys in the end. So eliminating the threat of players leaving opens up the possibility of expanding signature events, providing more playing opportunities for the rank and file guys. It really opens up your options. But as long as that threat is still there, you're really at the, you got to bend the knee to the top players because that's how ultimately you're going to survive. And I wish the rank and file players would understand that. I wish they would understand that position because if there's no PGA Tour, there's no job for them. Or it certainly looks a whole lot different. That's my understanding, but it definitely is very clear that a lot of PGA Tour players feel differently.
I wish we had more hard information. I wish we had timelines. I wish we had proposals and that vision that has been talked about. I wish that's been laid out, but we don't have it. We're not privy to it. So we'll continue to speculate and we'll update the next time we do hear something. We are going to change gears, talk a little bit about something a tiny bit Masters related, and then get right into the Valspar Championship. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And we're back. If you've not filled out your bracket yet, what are you doing? No, just kidding. You have plenty of time, but not that much time. It's got to be in by Thursday. And of course, we do have our podcast bracket group. So you can compete in the first cut group. That is, so you can go up against myself and Patrick and Greg and everybody else. And you can see if you can put those, all that knowledge that you have on the line. Yep. Patrick's going to get it. Come on, Patrick.
I sure got it happened. Oh, that's embarrassing.
We had a situation earlier where Patrick somehow triggered. There it is.
Let's go.
Via his hand motions, some type of emoticon or something. Yeah, confetti and balloons. And we don't, is that a, I guess that's a StreamYard thing.
I don't know. I think it means I'm going to pick the winner for this March Madness bracket. That's what that means.
The link is in the description. So you can get in there and you can see if you can take down Patrick. And if you do, you should tweet at him every single day and tell him what a dummy he is and how you are so much better. And he can get his revenge in 364 more days, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. It's welcome, right?
Of course. I got a little bit of that in our next topic as well. I thought it was an innocent tweet, but
we'll listen to it.
Yeah.
The Masters released Jon Rahm's Champions Dinner menu. And this is, this is very, what's the word? I was going to say Spanish, traditional. I guess is the word I think I was looking for traditional is the word that I was looking for. First off, I'll do my best, but these pronunciations are going to get me. He starts tapas style, Patrick. Now, for those who don't know, what would tapas style dinner look like?
just like a lot of small plates, a lot of small plates. And we'll get into the rest of the menu. You can go ahead before I can have my take on it.
Yeah. So there are six different small plates, everything from croqueta de pollo. Those are creamy chicken fritters. You've got tortilla de patatas. You've got, this one's my favorite, lentejas estofadas. That is Mama Ram's classic lentil soup. I mean, that's just half of the tapas, Greg. This is a pretty big menu already.
Yes, it is healthy. But that's what tapas are. Look, you go get tapas, you're not here to have one thing. You know, you're not just going to get chicken at tapas. You're going to try a little bit of everything. It's kind of like going to a wedding that has great finger food, right? It's fantastic. So, I like tapas. Usually not my preference. My wife loves tapas. That's her style.
I would be certain that Greg hates tapas.
I don't want tapas. you're right on the button.
Hate you're on the right wrong. Side of history, Greg.
Yeah.
like listen, I'm with you too. I don't like to share. My wife's always like, why don't we get a couple of things and share it all? Or why don't I get something that looks good and you get something that looks good and we'll split? I'm like, no. Like, I'm just gonna order what I want, I'm gonna eat it. I think you should order anything you want. We don't need to do this as a team. Patrick, tapas is like a team thing to me.
It's horrible. I hate it. It's honestly the worst. I mean, a bit of an aside, somewhat similar, but so I went on a date a couple months ago. It's like pretty important date, right? I think it was like number three. Whoa, maybe number four.
All time?
Yeah. Oh, Greg. Greg.
The one Greg.
When I see you in person, I'll remember that comment.
Okay.
So important date, right? Do or die. And she was insistent on picking the restaurant. I was like, fine. You know, I planned the first three. They went great. And then at the place, it was a place I've always wanted to go and I haven't. She was insistent on ordering everything. I'm like, okay, it's 2024. I get it. You can take control, do your thing. And then she was insistent on us sharing everything. That was the last date between us.
At least you found out early.
It was I was just like stewing the whole time. I was Mama Ram stewing that the entire time. Like, I knew what I wanted. She didn't get it. I was like, oh, what about this? She's like, no, you don't want that. Like, she completely alphaed me. And I was like, I don't know if I could take this. I don't know if I could do this for the rest of my life. So I had to cut it short.
Now, have you been back to that place to actually get what you want?
Yeah, it wasn't that good. She was right.
Now you got to call her and be like, listen, you were actually right about that.
So I have an order in philosophy at restaurants.
I cannot wait for this. This is good.
So get in one. You go to a restaurant and this is new or old. Like, it's like I'm drafting an NFL football team. When I look at the menu, I get the best thing that's on it. And you know what it is just looking at the menu. You get the best thing on it.
Best available.
Quite often, my wife and I agree on the best thing. We like very similar foods. She doesn't like to get the same thing as me. She asks what I'm ordering. I try to be secretive about it. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
If this is the best thing on the menu, there's nothing wrong with having two of them. You know, we don't have to get, because this is the other thing, different than Mina, Rick. She doesn't want to share, you know, maybe a bite to try it, but she just doesn't want to get different things or the same thing. Like, you get the best thing on the menu. That's one rule. The second rule is the best thing on the menu almost always has the name of the restaurant in it, if that exists. So if you go to a place called Jerry's and there's Jerry's steak on the menu, that's what you get. And you'll never be disappointed. And if you are disappointed, you'd never go back.
Okay. What do you
foolproof?
And this has worked for you over the years.
Yeah, I'm 30. I'm 32 years old. I'm experienced.
Jerry steak.
I was just trying to come up with something generic, but the point is you get Chris
said, does the restaurant have to be a particular time?
Eastern, of course.
Well, this is the thing. Time zones are a farce. Okay, we've been over this.
Okay, so there's a lot to unwrap on that. But we just had this problem last week. I was locked into eggplant parmesan. I'm getting eggplant parm. That's what I'm getting. I know that. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Mina wants it too. I say, great, let's both get it. No, can't happen. She'd be embarrassed to order two of the same thing from the waitress. Like, we can't. What does it matter? We're both going to enjoy it. Why? I cannot wrap my head around why this is a problem.
Somebody ends up disappointed.
But why?
Rick, it's a battle I've decided I can't win. I can just complain about it behind my wife's back on podcasts because I know that she's not going to listen to. But I will go downstairs afterwards and remind her that I still have this conversation. But at the restaurant, she wins.
Men would rather complain about it on a golf podcast than go to therapy.
anything but speak to my wife about this issue. I guess I could just order second. So if she goes and says eggplant parm and I go eggplant parm, is she so embarrassed that she now has to retract her order?
No, that would be crazy. You know what you could do? You know, I was going to get something else, but that sounds so good. I have to get it too.
I'm going to try that. I did. Once I heard it come out of your mouth, I thought it sounded so perfect.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't even see it on the menu, but it's what I wanted.
Patrick, do you think that the item named after the restaurant is the best item on the menu?
I'm trying to think. The fact that Greg used a name like Jerry is throwing me off a little bit. No disrespect to any listeners out there named Jerry. It's just not a strong name, in my opinion.
Oh, man. It was so random. I apologize.
I think there's something there, perhaps. I know when you go internationally, people were calling me uncultured today because of my tapas restaurant take. You want to avoid the places that have pictures on the menu. Those you want to avoid. Never good.
That was the number one thing someone told me when we were in Italy for the Ryder Cup. They said, avoid the places with pictures on the menus because those are for like tourists and like tourist traps. And like, so you can just point at the picture and say, this is what I want. Like, avoid those places.
And I would also say, I try to like get off the water as well. Like everyone wants to go to the restaurant, like right on the water. The food's usually not the best. The real estate is, of course, but you got to get off the water a little bit.
So that's a good call because the places that some of the places we go to in Orange County are like prime location, worst restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are paying for the location. They're paying for the experience, not paying for, you don't have to be good at food. You have a line out the door at all times because you're on the water.
Yeah, I would say
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I would say about Rahm's menu, one thing that stuck out to me. One, I'm a little disappointed there are no Irishmen in the Champions Dinner. I don't believe. If I'm wrong, please do not kill me. Because there's a lot of potato. A ton of potato. Chistoro con patata, potato.
We didn't even get to...
Croqueta de pollo, potatoes.
The main course is a Basque ribeye, chuluton a la parilla, or you could have, what is turbot?
Turbot, good fish, flaky, white.
Sorry. And then dessert is A puff pastry cake. That sounds good.
With a little custard.
A little custard on the side. Chantilly cream.
You know, I'm a big fan of Mexican food. I think it's probably, well, I know it's in my top two ethnic food groups. Probably number one. Ooh. So I think Spanish food is very close. You could tell me it's better. I wouldn't fight you on it. I just don't know. I haven't had traditional Spanish food from Spain. But I love Mexican food, and this is probably a absolutely delicious meal.
What are your three favorite cuisines, Greg?
Well, I can give you two.
Okay.
So Mexican, Japanese.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, fantastic. Third is kind of up in the air. There's a big fall off. Okay. I mean, like Italian.
Okay. Yeah. Italian's.
But it's overrated to me. It doesn't mean I dislike it. I just don't find it all that it's cracked up to be. Now, I've never been to Italy.
I love right? He's aware. Like, I love Greg, right? Because he's
only been to Duffy's.
He's got the capture at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe if I went to Italy, I could be swayed. But point is, it's outside the top two. No question. What would be a third? I got to put some thought into that. My third favorite food.
Patrick's like a Thai. You'll see like a Thai food kind of guy, Patrick.
No, Thailand was tough for me when I went there because I am highly, highly allergic to nuts and peanuts and everything. I'm an EpiPen boy. And so when we went to Thailand, we were there for about a week. Phuket, Bangkok. Like, I only ate like McDonald's.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for you.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. That makes up for a prior comment.
I feel for you there too.
We will not continue this conversation. We will end this conversation right now. And we will turn our attention to the Valspar, the Sam Burns Open, the matchups, the one and done, and everything else that needs to be covered for this week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
And we're back. All right. Let's talk Valspar. The final leg of our Florida swing. Sam Burns, twice the winner, but not the defending champion. That goes to Taylor Moore. Greg, I'll start with you first. We were getting into this a little bit or a lot of it yesterday on the DFS preview. This golf course, generally, outside of a couple of years, tends to skew much more difficult. Now it can be weather dependent, and Florida's always, you know, kind of a crapshoot on what you might get with like wind and rain and stuff like that. But we've seen 9 under, 10 under par be good enough to win this thing.
Yes. And it's a demanding golf course. Now, the 2 years that Sam Burns won were in May. So you have a little bit of a fiery, a little more fast golf course. It doesn't quite play as long. You could take less than driver off the tee. So I think there's a chance that it plays more. It'll play longer this year, I would imagine. And that may mean it plays a little bit more difficult. But the challenge of this golf course is the angles because of all the trees. So you have to be really precise off the tee in order to have a clear shot at the green. And you can hit really good tee shots and end up with quite a difficult angle. So now that puts pressure on your short game. So it is a really, really strong tee to green test. That's why I think you've seen winners like Sam Burns in a year when he made a big transformation in his iron play. You have Paul Casey in back-to-back years with Tiger Woods contending. You have Adam Hadwin, who put on a ball striking display. Trust me, I know, I watch very closely. You also have like John Senden, Jordan Spieth. When they won that event, they were elite iron players as well. And all those guys have pretty good short games as well.
Yeah, the Sam Burns stuff was impressive. So he's back in the field this week, Patrick. He's one of the top players. There's 10 of the top 30 in the OWGR here. Plus you get a little bit of Minwoo, a little bit of Sungjae action. Have you been impressed, disappointed, or nothing towards the strength of some of these non-signature events?
I think this one's great. Outside of that, I mean, the Honda was like surprisingly good, better than the last handful of years, right? Mexico Open obviously was a bit of a downer, a snooze fest for the PGA Tour, but Jake Knapp, you know, he's a personality the tour is really leaning into now. And then outside of that, I mean, American Express, you had Cantlay, Burns, JT were in the final group alongside Nick Dunlap. So that was all right. So I think it's been all right. I think just like a B minus, I would say, just because, I mean, we are coming off of the tournament of the year right now. So it's bound to be a little bit of a letdown. And you had Tom Kim, WD, Patrick Cantlay, WD. But we still have, I mean, Xander, Harmon, JT, Spieth, and Sam Burns. So I'm very excited because I do want a difficult test. Feels like Sawgrass kind of robbed us of that almost. And to get a winner around 10 under would be really nice, honestly.
Fingers crossed for that. And Greg, it is not lost on me that we are 22-0 days away from the Masters. There are some guys in this field who got to kind of get right. Is Justin Thomas the biggest one? If it was 3 weeks ago, I would have said the form's looking great. He's trending in the right direction. Now a couple of miscuts in his last handful of starts, and I'm starting to worry about that.
It's understandable. Although, you know, this is the thing with JT. I could very easily picture looking back on this year after the FedEx Cup playoffs and saying, you know, he missed those two cuts. But the Players Championship, stars miss the cut all the time. And the Genesis, he was playing with Tiger, kind of a weird week. But every other event has been very well played for him. So I don't know if that's the case because we haven't seen him continue great form. But a nice finish this week inside the top 10 or the top 5, I think would put us in a pretty good place for the Masters. We also got to see him get rid of some of these left misses off the tee. Because at Augusta National, a left miss is not the proper miss. So there's been a lot of good with him, but that is the biggest concern, even a bigger concern than his putting struggles.
Well, the other one, Patrick, is Jordan Spieth. When you talk about the Masters, you talk about leading to that event. Jordan Spieth is going to be one of the guys that you talk about. And I think for me, he is the golfer right now that I have the least clue on. I don't have my finger on the pulse. I don't know when to expect a good week, a bad week, a fine week. I have no idea. And we're 20 days away from his thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's been Jordan Spieth really the last couple of years. pretty much. And you look at his last four starts, it's a miscut, a DQ, a T30, a contention run at the Phoenix Open as well. That's vintage Jordan Spieth. You have no idea what he's supposed to do. But I will say the one thing about this golf course, one, Jordan Spieth has a great history, obviously a win mixed in there as well. And two, there seems to be some sort of correlation with Augusta National. Schwartzel, Reed, Spieth, Tiger, obviously. I mean, I think a good start here would go a long way for him. And he's one of these guys who we're going to be seeing the next couple of weeks as well with the Texas swing upcoming.
I saw, this is completely off topic, but it just popped into my head, Greg. I saw that Rory committed to Wells Fargo, which I think is him. I think he's going to play 9 of 11 events before the Masters. Is that?
Wells Fargo's after the PGA.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think he did say he was going to play. I don't know if it was 9 of 11, but okay. A healthy amount.
Right, disregard that.
He's playing in San Antonio.
He's just playing a lot more than we've ever seen.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to. But I mean, new strategy. He's kind of like you, Rick. He's got to figure out the big number.
I agree. I nobody is going to provide the sympathy to Rory McIlroy like I will right now.
Well, I mean, he's got 9 or 10 doubles or worse in the first 7 tournaments of the year. Now those are 4 rounds. So, but he does have some rounds with multiple doubles and triples. So he's right there with you, Rick. He just didn't shoot 82.
I think he only had 6 double bogeys all last year. He has at least 12 water balls too. At least.
And that doesn't even count Dubai.
Yes, that is true.
And
at least 13 then.
And you're talking about left misses, which that has reared its ugly head at times. Okay, sorry. I didn't want to sidetrack us on a Rory. He's not even playing this week. Greg, is there anybody else or anything else Valspar related before we rock onto the bets?
Well, I think there's a very interesting field, but I'll say this. Most of my thoughts will come in the bets, so I think we can save it for that.
Okay. Fair enough. We will go to the bets. And if you have never seen how we do this before, it's quite simple. We take $100 and we put 50 on the matchup of our choice, 30 on the finishing position of our choice, 10 bucks each on 2 separate outrights. And then Josh gives us an extra 50 bucks to go crazy with and do whatever we want. Here is the grid for this week. And Patrick, I think you're probably our hottest. You've got a couple of winners in a row. We're going to start with you and your matchup.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I wanted some CBEZ exposure. I went into the breakdown, saw Greg had this. I was like, perfect. I'm just going to copy it real quick. But his iron play has been fantastic. Even though he burned me one and done style at PGA National, he's playing some great golf. Aaron Rye's like perpetual, like T39, it seems like. So I'm going to go with CBEZ in this one.
Yeah, so that is Christian Bezuidenhout over Aaron Rye at even money. And Greg, you were the inspiration apparently for this, and you have the same matchup.
I loved Christian Bezuidenhout this week, and I wanted to get him involved, and I thought this is a pretty good way. He's the underdog against Aaron Rye. Aaron Rye has a very good stat profile for this, but I kind of agree with Patrick. The results, he's not a huge top 10 threat. I should knock on wood. But he doesn't seem to be one of those guys that races up the leaderboard on Sunday and all of a sudden clips you. I think Christian will play some really solid golf this week. I love what he's done with his iron play. His putting has been fantastic. He's scrambling well and he's pretty accurate off the tee. So he checks all the boxes for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just spoil it. I have him as one of my outright wagers. So I think we are all three aligned on, the trajectory that Christian Bezuidenhout is on. I went with Finau over Spieth, just going back to that conversation about not knowing what version of Spieth I'm going to get. And I think that we are at least seeing a positive trend for Tony Finau is cleaning up the short game. He's been great on approach for the entire year. It feels like he's closest, the closest he's been right now to getting back to the good version of himself. Finishing positions. Greg, you get the honor here because I need you to tell me what this matchup is, because it just says Justin Thomas top.
Top, that is top 144. No.
If you got
hell of a number, hell of a number.
Plus 330 odds on that. I'm assuming it's top 10.
That is actually top five.
Oh, okay.
I think JT is going to contend. Oh, there we go. Updated. Look, Josh is a magician. So Justin Thomas, top five, plus 330. This is a risky one, but I'm going on this hunch that JT is, those are two weird weeks. I think you're going in a field that is not what he's seen in these signature events. It's a golf course that has been good to him. You know, five of his six starts have been top 25 finishes here. He has finished inside the top 10 on, I believe, three occasions. I think it fits his game. I think it'll allow a little more playability on some of those left misses. And I think you see Justin Thomas's iron play come and shine this week. And I think he contends as a result.
Justin Thomas, top five, plus 330. Patrick, you are also finding a golfer near the top of the board. What did you decide?
The X-Men, Wet Sox himself. I'm extending a hand, mending bridges, top 10, plus 125. I mean, he is far and away the best player in this field this season. So I think he gets over last week. He sounded, honestly, a little down in his press conference today. But I think he'll get over it by Thursday and cash the top 10 at plus 125.
Okay, and I went with Andrew Novak. We spent a lot of time talking about him on Monday. He had those three straight top 10s, and then he struggled in, God, where did he play? Cognizant? No.
Bay Hill. Players.
No. He did not play Bay Hill.
That's right.
The Players.
The Players, right. You missed the cut, the Players. I don't really care. Much weaker field. I'm going to give him one more go to get this thing back in order, plus 125 to finish inside the top 40 for Andrew Novak. Outrights. I'll just get out of the way because I've already spoiled one of mine. It was Christian Bazenhood at 40-1. The other one is Sam Burns at 12-1. Sam Burns is just, he has played so many great rounds this year and has been marred by one bad round each week. And like we were talking about, I think it's a little bit easier to clean those up than to go out and be great all the time. So I went with Burns. Greg, that will be my transition to you as well, who has, you also have Burns and you have somebody else on your card.
I also have Brian Harman, who I'll get to in just a minute. But Sam Burns, Rick, I agree with you. There's been a lot of good, and he's coming to a place where he has two wins and a sixth in his last three starts. And last year with that six, he came in terrible form. So I just think he needs, you got to have a little exposure on Sam Burns, because this could be, you know, this could be his stomping grounds. So love what I've seen out of him for the most part. And then Brian Harman, I think, checks all the boxes. I do my analysis on the golf course, try to figure out what's going to be the most important. And Brian Harman does literally all of the things really well, either is right now or has in his career. And that would be the iron play, which is so important. He's doing really well right now. He has always been extremely accurate off the tee and has always been a phenomenal scrambler. And those are the three areas that I think will lead to the most success. So got to get in on Brian Harman.
Burnsy and Brian Harman for Greg Patrick after back-to-back favorites winning, both of them named Scottie Scheffler. You have opted to put your outrights here a little bit farther down the board, nothing shorter than 40-1.
And we'll see about that in a second, Rick. But Nick Taylor, 40-1. Iron plays red hot, putter's red hot. He can put the ball in the fairway. T10 at this tournament last year. Love it. I mean, he was in contention last weekend before a bad third round, so I'll forgive that. And then Doug Gim. Greg, I thought we'd be simpatico on this one. 50-1, five straight top 16s. He's doing everything right. So let's see.
Sick
if
play.
let's see if we can ride the wave with Gim
He may be better than Xander Schauffele this year. He's not
top 10.
I just want to highlight the point that he is fourth on the PGA Tour. We're through the Players Championship. He's fourth on tour in strokes gained total. Kudos to you there on that play.
He's been phenomenal. That is Gim, Taylor, Burns, Bezuidenhout, and Harmon for the outrights. Now the extra 50. And yeah, there it is, Patrick. You couldn't go too far here. You have been on a meteoric rise by getting Scottie Scheffler correct both weeks, each of the last 2 weeks. You are not required to put this best bet money on an outright, though. Why stop now?
I think I figured out this little game that Josh has put together for us, and you got to put 50 bucks on a winner. And so I'm with Greg. I'm with you, Rick, where I think it's a little smoke and mirrors, some of this bad play from Justin Thomas. The iron play was still very good last week. He's great at this tournament. I think he was one stroke out of that playoff with Burns and Davis Riley a couple years ago. So I think he's close to something. I'm not sure if he's going to win a big boy event or a major this year, but one of these Gen Pop events, absolutely. And I think it could be this week. So JT to win at 14-1. Ship it.
I went with Greg's arch nemesis, Bud Cauley, the top 30 at plus 280. He's only played four times in 2024. They're getting better. He's getting healthy. Everything is looking good. I think this is a decent spot for him to finish on the first three pages of the leaderboard for nearly 3-1. Greg, why don't you round us out with your best bet, please?
I need someone to finish in the top four pages of the leaderboard, and that's Sam Ryder. I like him in a top 40 at plus 140. Again, it's not because of the commercials. I like Sam Ryder because he made 27 birdies last week. His iron play is top 40 on the PGA Tour, and his putting has been really good lately, and it's since he came to Florida. So I believe Sam Ryder really likes the Bermuda greens, and I think there's a hot streak coming for him.
Cauley top 30, JT to win, Ryder top 40 are the three best bets for this week, which, gentlemen, leaves us just one final thing to do. It is our one and done selections. There is not as much money to be made this week, but there is money to be made. So, Josh, whenever you're ready, fire away. There it is. I get to go first because I am in dead last at 1.9 million. Though Greg and I have settled on the same golfer, and Greg is $4 million clear of me. So, Greg, why don't you tell the people who you and I will roll with this week?
We will roll with Brian Harmon. I talked about him a little bit already. Again, checks all the boxes. He's coming in hot, right? Stan Burns seemed like the proper play, but I was forecasting the rest of the year. I'm thinking, okay, well, majors, I'm not too worried about majors for either of these guys. That probably, just from a strategy perspective, goes live. So now we're talking about playoffs. And who do I want to have in the playoffs?
Talking about playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
So I'm probably going to... I think Sam Burns may be more useful when it comes to playoff time than Brian Harmon. And I think Brian Harmon, I don't know if he'll be as hot as he is right now at any other point in the year. So I think he's the right play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I'm saving Brian Harmon for anything. I think he's playing well. I think the putter's capable of catching heat, and I need a win from somebody. Kyle and Mark have also gone with the same golfer. They've gone with Sam Burns. So they will move in tandem for this week with the man who's won this event twice in the last 3 years. Patrick, you are the lone wolf in the middle of the pack. But you don't have a pack because you're a lone wolf. It's kind of a weird thing. So just tell us who you picked.
I've always been a one-man wolf pack, Rick, as Greg so eloquently laid out for the viewers earlier in the episode. Thank you once again, Greg. I'm not hung up on that comment at all. I went with Nick Taylor. look, this guy's a winner. His iron play is great. He's a great course fit. I feel like I'm getting like a top 15, top 20 finish minimum out of him. Talk about knocking on wood. I really wanted to zag and go Xander Schauffele this week, but he's got to be more useful down the line somewhere. He's got to be. So I went with Nick Taylor because I figured Burns would be a popular play.
And Josh, who must be feeling real confident at the top of the board, has gone with Doug Gim because he can and because he has the luxury of being able to do so. That is Josh with Doug Gim at 6.7 million, Greg with Brian Harmon at 6.1, Mark with Sam Burns at 5.5, Patrick with Nick Taylor at 4.9, Kyle with Sam Burns at 2.7, and me, Rick, with Brian Harmon at 1.9 million.
That's it. I love the Doug Gim pick by Josh. It's low key. I mean, that is not a out of the box pick, even though it kind of looks like it.
He's been finishing inside the top 20 at a lot deeper events than this one. So if he finishes ninth and Josh used Doug Gim to finish ninth, he'd be thrilled.
I'm predicting a down week from Doug Gim. Even though I understand the pick.
He doesn't have to waste Burns. He doesn't have to waste Nick Taylor or Brian Harmon or anybody like that. If he can just get a couple hundred thousand from Doug Gim, he's a happy camper.
He'll miss him at the Tour Championship.
Wow.
Exactly, Greg. Exactly. That's galaxy brained.
That is certainly one thing that could happen. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
I'd like to revisit one of Greg's takes about Italian food. Connecticut pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a complicated aspect. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to elaborate on.
Oh, okay. I love pizza. I just don't know if it's really Italian. I view it as separate from Italian. You know, like pizza in Stamford, in Connecticut as a whole, in New Haven, this is like the pizza capital of the world, you know? It's right up there with them, okay? And so I separate pizza and Italian, and I love pizza, but I don't think it's ethnic enough to call it a group. You guys, Greg, are...
Do you know why?
Yourself.
Greg,
do you know why New Haven pizza is so different and unique and great?
Yeah, the water.
No. Because, like, all these people from Italy moved to New Haven, and New Haven was just like only Italians, and they made pizza.
I get it. It's Frank Pepe's, right? I get it.
It's Sally's Beets. It's not, it's, you know, it's Mutz. It's,
I understand. I in my own mind, I separate them. And maybe that's unfair. You know, maybe Italian's third on the heels of pizza.
riding the coattails of pizza all the way to number three.
I love pizza. I do.
We get accused on this podcast. We get nameless accounts yelling at us, golf's played outside America. Golf's played outside America. Wah, wah, wah. And then you have this take that pizza is American. You are not helping our cause.
I'm not saying it's American. I just think it's, you know, universal, like time.
So I mean, I get what he's saying. I don't agree with it, but I get what he's saying. Pizza is so ubiquitous that it separates itself from a cuisine or a culture, and it is its own thing.
Exactly. It's like what would you call a burger American?
Yes.
All right. I'm not leaving the country anytime soon. So,
All right. Anything else?
No, I am done. I'm just going to get in more and more trouble. I feel myself. It's getting away from me.
The Italians are coming for you. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the Italians, Greg.
I fended him off before. It's not my first time making this take public.
All right, gents, we will be back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those are round by round recaps for this week's Valspar Championship. And that's all. Big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme available at The Real GFD. Patrick McDonald at P. McDonald CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.